so that you can discuss and explore possibilities for yourselves. We've got some very adept people around these tables already, so that probably know more than Nigel and I anyway. So you've got some key folk in the room that we may or may not identify as the afternoon goes on. That video was from a couple of ladies in Flavel Church in Dartmouth. Deborah, tell us a little bit about
Those two ladies. I don't know how to say this without... when we first arrived there, Thelma and Barbara were two of the six or seven that were at the church, left after many years of kind of gradually decline. And I think, without being unfair to them, they would probably say that they were going through the motions of church but without any real sense of the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And Thelma, who was on the left-hand side, I hope I don't lose it, but Thelma, we just saw her transform. Absolutely transform. And just a very quick story. I was walking through the Dartmouth town and this young lady, similar age to me, came up to me and she said, "What have you done to my mother?" And I said, "Not where I've done anything to your mother." And she said, "Well, whatever it is, please keep doing it. My mum has got a faith that she never knew before, and she's got a peace as well, and she's got her own personal faith." And I just thought, wow, you know, this is a lady in her 80s, and she's been going to church for many, many years, and yet she's found faith in the last year. Sadly, since the filming of that, Thelma died in January, but, you know, it's not sad, because her funeral was the most amazing witness to her life, and we're already seeing fruits from that, because people are just coming up to us in the street and saying, "Wow, what an amazing funeral." You don't get that very often, you know? Just had such an impact on people. And Barbara was from a Scottish Presbyterian background, I don't know, Church of Scotland, yeah. So quite kind of maybe rigid in the way she saw church. And again, she's been transformed. I mean, some of the stuff, I don't know if any of you heard what she was saying, but she says, "We're praying now and expecting things to happen." You know, and another story about Thelma is that about the first week we were there, she just was behind me, and it's interesting in view of what we've just been listening to in the main hall, but she just said, "My knee is really bad. I can hardly walk on it at the moment." So I said, "Let me just pray for it." And I just laid my hand on her knee, and it was instantly healed. And she was just telling that story on the thing, and it had an impact on her, because she'd never seen the power the Holy Spirit in that way. So, Barbara, we thought all the change, we haven't done loads of drastic changes all at once, but we thought that some of the changes she might be one of the people that kind of falls off the end, but she's here and she's loving it. So, yeah.
Just thought we'd mention that just at the outset. That's what the partnership is about. It's a partnership between Pioneer and the Methodist Church. There's a new video coming out, or is out. We will show it probably at the end of this time if you want to watch it, but it will be on view, I think, Saturday night in the main hall, and then after that it will be on the website, so you can have a look for yourselves. And it includes a little snippet of that conversation, just to remind you. Okay, this is meant to be a connecting point. We just want to see what might be possible. One of the things that I think we can so easily do is we can lose hope. And once we've lost hope, we're nowhere. The church has lost it if we've lost hope. And so we need to find that hope again for everything we're involved in. I believe that word, that sense of hope, we need to stir our hearts up to say, God can do it today. He will do it today. There are possibilities that the kingdom of God will be established on earth as it is in heaven. We've heard that this morning. So it is about injecting that sense of possibility. The word possible is the opposite to what? So on the scale of if impossible is over here, and you've got that end of the scale, where is possible on that scale in your mind? Exactly. But for many of us, possible is somewhere in the middle. But that word possible is actually the opposite of impossible. And the word possible is invested with the same word as dunamis, of powerful, of miraculous. So we're looking for the inbreaking power, miracles, hope, possibilities of the kingdom. So when we're thinking of partnership, we're thinking of that. When we're thinking of partnership, we're thinking of unity. So we're looking at, well, if where there's unity, the dew of heaven comes. So what's that about? We're looking for things which are heaven breaking in. So there may be, in our conversations, and I've had conversations with a number of you here, where we've looked at the problems, and there are problems that we need to overcome. Let's try and look at what God can do. Let's look at the possibilities, the breaking in, the miracles. For us in Pioneer, it's about connecting with our spiritual inheritance, about the dreams, the stories, the power. But I think there's also a sense of, for all of us, whether we're Pioneer or Methodist, it's about aligning our dreams and thoughts with heaven and seeing heaven just breaking in on that. And when that happens, I think the problems aren't an issue. We find a way. But nonetheless, let's not ignore the problems and not pretend they're not there. Let's fill our hearts with that hope and realign our hearts with not only the recognizing the challenges, but the heart of what God wants to do in this day. Now, what we want to do, we're going to present you with three topics, three examples. One is a story about Wimbledon. We were hoping that we'd had two people here to talk about Wimbledon. We just got one. So one is a story about Wimbledon, one is a story about Ignite, and one is a story about what we're doing in the Southwest. And each time we're going to stop and discuss and look at what does that mean for us? Does that stir us up to think of what we could do in our situation? And so we're going to discuss that on the back of these. They're meant to be just sort of conversation starters and stories to inspire you. But I'm going to hand over to Nigel, who's going to introduce the first one.
Thank you, Alan. Well, good afternoon, everyone, from me. I'm really thrilled to see so many good people in this room. And one of the things that gives me hope for the future is that I'm just getting to work with some amazing people, some people that are really on fire for Jesus, really believe in what we're trying to do. And it's such a privilege to be working with these guys. I have to pinch myself, you know, regularly just to make sure I'm not still dreaming what I'm doing, because my job is just incredible. It's just transforming me, and it's such a joy helping to transform the lives of other people as well. The first amazing person that I'm going to introduce today is Yanni Dekkers, and he's going, "Oh no, don't do it like that, Nigel." But really, it's such an inspiring story, really. And I want to introduce this particular section with a 90-second video clip of a conversation that was captured on film, kind of with Yanni and Margaret Adams. Margaret Adams is the superintendent minister in the Wimbledon circuit. And Margaret can't be with us today, so that's why I'm going to play a little video clip of Margaret. And I really wanted her to be represented here today in at least some shape or form. She's not well today, so we'll start off with this.
The journey began one day as Andy, Frost, Yanni and myself met in Costa for a coffee and a conversation. And it soon became clear as we talked that our vision for the community in Wimbledon and Raynes Park was the same.
And that's really where the conversation started. Based on that conversation, I took it back to our leadership team and said I had a really great meeting with Margaret. Would we consider perhaps starting a journey with the Methodist Church in Wimbledon, really taking hands with that ministry and seeing how we could strengthen the ministry that was happening here in Wimbledon in the Methodist Church.
Yanni invited me to come and speak to his leadership team. That was a really exciting experience, and out of that it was clear that God was speaking to us.
We really felt that God was saying this is a season of breakthrough, a season of flourishing. It was as if God was saying, you know, that it would be a season of joy, and it would be a season of seeing all the old dreams and old word of God rekindling in a way that would touch the community again.
How's your season of joy working out?
we've just moved, well, it's a year now, February month, that we moved into the facility in Wimbledon together with Margaret Adams. The journey is much longer than that. But about a year ago, we the Doxodale Church that my wife and I lead moved all of our ministry activity into the Wimbledon Methodist Church. And it's been a glorious journey of exploration. Most things have gone really well, and we've had to, there haven't really been things that have gone badly, but we've had to work things out and see how we get, you know, really hear God's voice for our community. I think some of the most exciting things for us has been that journey of exploration. And so, you know, initially when we just thought we were moving into a facility, sharing that facility with the Methodist Church, we suddenly discovered other things that we weren't quite expected. You know, we couldn't anticipate those ahead of time. And one of which was the fact that our church represents an age demographic that is probably about 25 to 45, loads of young children. Loads of young families, and the Methodist Church in that facility represented another age demographic. They were predominantly from about 60 to 75. And suddenly, so we have our service at 9 a.m. in the morning, and they have their service at 11 a.m. And for a half an hour between the two services, we drink coffee together. And that was the initial contact that we had as churches, and it was so amazing to suddenly see this spread of ages in that facility, and suddenly families, young families, loads of which live in London without their parents close, suddenly found here were grandparents, you know, to their children that they didn't know were on their doorstep, and so loads of really amazing relationships started growing out of that, to the point where we felt perhaps drinking coffee was not just enough. Perhaps we wanted to twin people from our church with people in the Methodist Church, so we started pairing up people, and they started going out for suppers and lunch, and some of them shared Christmas together and birthdays, and I heard about people going to the movies and all kinds of stuff like that. So it's been an incredible journey of relational exploration, which has been probably one of the first key factors for us that we've explored. The second area that we started exploring together was how could we do ministry together. And so we started a parent-toddler group together as two churches, and we advertised it to the local community as a joint venture between the Doxodale Church and the Methodist Church, to the point where we now are so full on a Wednesday morning that we are now looking at creative ways of perhaps duplicating that, or we're not quite sure what the future of that would be, how we could accommodate more people. But we have over 40 children on Wednesday mornings at our parent-toddler group, and just about 2 weeks ago, Margaret and I opened up the conversation to say we did a Christmas project together in December where we did hampers to the local community, and we've got the parent-toddler group. But how could potential ministry between us and the Methodist Church be further explored? Are there perhaps ministry opportunities that the Doxodale Church could open up for the Methodist Church that they don't have the resource or the energy for at the moment, or perhaps the hands to do that? So are there ways that we could perhaps offer that? And how could that perhaps be reciprocated? Perhaps there are ways that they could open up ministry for the Doxodale Church where, you know, we don't find strength in. So that's just a little bit about the journey.
That was one of those light the touch paper moments, wasn't it? I just said, how's your journey working out? And it's brilliant, Yanni. Thank you so much for that. But you've been quite intentional, I think, haven't you, about finding ways to partner. And that's leading to the relationship developing even further, I think, in the Rains Park area. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yep. So Margaret and I drink coffee regularly. I'd say at least twice a month. That's in a really busy month, or you know, when she's away with stuff. Mostly, we try and meet up once a week, and we will just share and talk. So it's about the intentionality of the relationship. We, from time to time, bring the leadership team from the Methodist Church and the leadership team from the Doxodeo team together, and we just have meals and share time together. So it is all about the intentionality, and somehow we see that intentionality now spreading its wings further, because there's a Methodist church in Rains Park, and they regularly meet in the Wimbledon facility as well, so the two churches work together. So on the first Sunday of every month, they all meet in the Wimbledon facility, and on the third Sunday of the month, they all meet in the Rains Park facility. And so as the church in Rains Park saw this, this relationship grow in Wimbledon, they started asking questions, but, you know, what about us, what about us? And so we handed in a proposal to the Rains Park Methodist Church in December, which they then presented and said they would like to pursue this relationship with Doxodeo in also the Rains Park Church. So we're just seeing something, you know, it's actually a growing relationship and developing.
I had an interesting meeting with you, and it was interesting to me. It might not have been interesting to Yanni, in a coffee shop, didn't we, the other week? And just before Margaret was due to go off to somewhere in Africa, it's a big place. To where?
Uganda.
To Uganda, and that was about some of the kind of property sharing issues side of things. I don't want to get into that in detail now, but that's probably been a bit of an eye opener for you as well, hasn't it? How we're going to have to steer our way through some of the, I wouldn't call it a minefield because that's a very negative word, but to find our way through a bit of the maze of the legal side of things, the kind of trust stuff, the Methodist sort of model trust, all this kind of thing about how you can in practice go about sharing a property. And I don't think we've reached any complete conclusions for you on that yet, but it's an area that we're continuing to explore so that we can make sure that whatever happens to Rains Park, because they're a more vulnerable congregation, I think, aren't they, than Wimbledon, that whatever happens, that in the future there's still a sustainable ongoing ministry in that place. Okay, I think it's probably time that we set you to work.
Okay.
Yeah, are you going to do that? Yep, okay.
Okay, now what... Thanks, Yanni, that's really good. Hopefully that stirred up some questions and thoughts for you. Now, what I'd like you to do, the tables are there to provide a focal point for you. The idea was it was there to put your cups of tea and coffee on, but there isn't any tea and coffee. So, but it's there as a focal point, so you think, right, this is my group. So identify which group you're part of. Introduce yourselves to each other. What is your interest? Why you're here? Why you've come? What's going on in your neck of the woods? And then I want you to address two issues, which are going to be the questions throughout this time. Is what can we learn or take from this, the example we just looked at, and what now might be possible for us as we consider that? What can we learn and take from this, and what now might be possible, or what might be possible that we hadn't considered before? Just thinking of that story. Okay? So introduce yourselves to each other first, and then answer those two questions, or discuss those two questions. So, okay? So sort yourself into your group. Now, I'm sure you're going to be continuing these discussions, so I'm not trying to stop a conversation, but rather to try and feed a conversation. But are there any, at this point... At this point, are there any questions that any of the groups would like to ask? Any questions that were burning questions that came out of that so far? Wow. Okay, so it's all sorted. That's great. Okay, this next one is really, again, to just fuel more discussion. So I'll hand over to Nigel again.
So I'm going to invite my good friend Rob Hawkins up to the front now, if he can manage to find a way through. He's a very slim fellow now. It's no trouble. Yeah. Rob, I'm immensely proud of this guy, and I'm really proud to be working with this guy. One of the most exciting developments in the last year has been the Ignite program up in Newcastle. Newcastle, yes. Do you know, we had such fun with the language up there. We took a team up there in a minibus, and we were all coming back going, and it's just like, oh dear, we're just laughing all the way home, and it was 8 hours, so it was a lot of laughing. Rob, tell us a little bit about Ignite in Newcastle and why you did it.
Do you regret it?
we really believe that Newcastle is a significant part of God's kingdom, and in the Methodist Church setting, there's three major cities: London, Bristol, Newcastle. Sorry about the rest of the country, but that's the history of. That's where Wesley went and put his thing, and so we really have a sense, an underlying sense, that God wants to renew the church and the Methodist Church in that area in the northeast, and there's amazing things coming. So I guess the first thing is a vision and a hope. But he did touch other parts, otherwise there wouldn't be Methodist churches around the country. So that's the first thing. And so into that, we just had a sense that Mark came up, and there's a guy in Newcastle called Tim who actually said, "You must meet this guy, Billy." And I don't know if, like other ministers or other people, said, I'd love to, but I'm busy. And about five times he kept saying, "Meet this guy, Billy Kennedy. Meet this guy, Billy. Yeah, but I'm busy." And he came up to Holy Island, and it's a beautiful place, Lindisfarne, to the Northumberland, and we met him, and we just, something stirred in our hearts. So we went reluctantly, and we had a warmed heart. If that rings anything with Methodists, so I guess that was the basis of it. And out of that discussion, he came round and said, "Oh, we could do something here, we could do something there." And you thought, this guy, well, what planet's he on? But out of that came this sense, and we came down here because you wanted to see how does it work, that we met a guy called Mark Simpson who said, "I'd love to do Ignite. I'd love to do Ignite up there. It's transformational." And so we took a chance. But I run a small church. I was done university chaplaincy. It's not a huge church. It was due to close. The guy really felt sorry for me that was taking it on. He said, "This church is due to close. You're going to close it." Well, it's not. It's thriving. It's Jesmond Methodist, which you may have heard of, JMC. And he said, let's try Ignite up here. And I thought, why us? Why? We're just small. And how many times do you think that? Why you? Little church in Cornwall, little church here, little church there. Why us? And we thought, why not? And out of that, we just took a step of faith. And we found the Ignite people so encouraging, so generous, so gracious. And it actually saddens me that you don't always find that in the Methodist Church. Graciousness, generosity, kindness. I remember Martin Atkins and even Ken Howcroft, our president, come out and said, "You should see how vitriolic my mailbag is. How vitriolic my mailbag is." And it's the opposite. And I think, which one's more Christian, isn't it? That we ought to see generosity, kindness. And week by week, they've just come up and spoken into our lives.
Well, stay where you are for now. That's all right. Well, one of the things that really has encouraged me about Ignite in Newcastle is the fact that it's happening at all. Because when I remember having Terry Hudson is back there, and Terry is one of the fathers of this whole thing, really. And there was a time when Terry and I were trying to get our head around, well, what is Ignite? And Terry might still be there, I'm not sure. But what is the Ignite training program? And at that point, it was going to be a full day every Monday for a year. And we're thinking, how are you going to get people to give up a day a week for a year to invest in, you know, their spiritual life and their calling? because we're used to having to struggle to get someone to come once a month to a meeting at 7:30, you know, on a Thursday, to talk about, I don't know, what coffee we serve or something, I don't know. And so this idea that we might get enough people together in Newcastle to run a dedicated Ignite course amongst the Methodist circuit, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, would have seemed frankly ludicrous. But I tell you what, we serve an amazing God, don't we? We serve a God who, when he really fires us up and we stand behind what he says and he's calling us to do, and we know that he's calling us to do it and we trust in his provision, just about anything can happen. And I think Newcastle for me just absolutely epitomizes that, that when we get somebody who just, who was due to retire, poor chap, wasn't he, Katie? That when you get somebody who's prepared to really step up to the plate and throw themselves into it and hear what God is asking them to do, we can do amazing things together in his name. So I want to encourage you with that thought, that wherever you think you are at the moment, and however impossible, you might be thinking, well, I want to do something with partnership, but you know, there isn't a pioneer church near me or something, you know, which was the case in Newcastle. There is still something that we can do. We just have to have the time, the patience to invest in prayer, to listen to what it is that God is saying to us, so that we can hear what some of the possibilities are. Now, in Newcastle, there's all sorts of, sorry, Newcastle, which is near Sunderland, in Newcastle, there are all sorts of potential opportunities opening up now, or ideas being thought of. Do you want to just share a little bit about some of that? Off the record, obviously. It's being recorded, yeah. But, you know.
Well, two things. I've just been for lunch with Mark, and he's planning to launch Ignite next year in a way that any church could probably access. So if you sort of see the good things that are happening or hear that, bear that in mind. There might be ways of it being transformed to a place very near you. We just have a sense that God hasn't finished with the Methodist Church. You keep hearing it, but you think, how on earth, how on earth? And we're looking to do some amazing things up there. We're wondering, what do we do next year? We couldn't afford anybody, but we can now afford a worker. So I'm looking to get a worker up next year. So if you know anyone that's on Ignite that would love to come and work in Buzzy Jesmond, we'd love to have someone to come and do that and to partner and to grow through Ignite. And we're looking, we've got a council estate. Some of the things that you hear Pioneer Church, I think, well, why should they do it? Why can't Methodists do it? And I think we can. So I'm looking to hand that on, to sort of take some of that DNA of mission and congregation planting and to do it. So that's the dream.
Thank you, Rob. I'm going to hand over back to Alan now.
Okay. Does everyone here know what Ignite is? No. Do you want to explain what Ignite is?
It's a one-year course in the evening. I know there's lots and lots of courses, and Methodists do lots and lots of courses. It's mainly to equip and to ignite the faith of people who are already Christians, and it's doing that. And just ask Mark. Mark spoke earlier this morning. I think there's a session tomorrow. Is there a session tomorrow, Alan? Anyway, just ask. It's transformational, and it could be available as from September. It does commit people to a whole year, but I think that's great. You know, we're so good at 6-week courses, aren't we, that don't really touch anybody and leave you frustrated. This is, and we're only in term two, it is transformational.
What have you seen change?
Well, there's three ladies there that are on it. Just ask them. Don't ask me, ask them. We've seen faith come alive, people changed. And we're, as I say, we've only just on halfway through term two, and I think it's what the Methodist Church is about, equipping people to work wherever they are, isn't it, in the community, wherever they're called. So I would say really look at it seriously.
Okay, good. Okay, so same two questions. What can we learn or take from this, and what might be possible for us? Okay. You can carry on the conversation you had before on the previous one about buildings and whatever. This is not about buildings. It's about more than that. But you can carry on that conversation. Ignite should actually open up a little bit more for you. So discuss what might be possible and what can we take from this? Whichever way around you want to take those two questions, okay? Okay, we're going to carry on the discussion with another starter. Are there any questions that are coming out of... Okay, how many people went on the course in Newcastle?
Well, it's not went, it's going, 40, about 40.
It's general congregational.
Is it general... It's for all, yeah, it's for all. Yeah. It's beyond, it's the whole district. Yeah. I mean, speak to Nigel about if you're interested in details, because it's probably too much to answer now, but yeah, it was for all. It's for all, yeah.
About 40. 40. Any other questions?
Just a comment from our table. It was Pete who said it. Methodism at the moment, we're spending vast sums of money on training programs for discipleship. And Pete is saying, why on earth are we doing that when there are some good programs out there that may not have the Methodist label on them, but actually they have the Methodist ethos? And Ignite is exactly something like that. And I think within Methodism, we ought to be saying, if you have a voice in Methodism at any level, would you please talk about Ignite and say, look, for goodness sake, let's just recognize this is of God and we can use it. It can be used within Methodism without having the official Methodist stamp. But if we can get that stamp on it, then so much the better. It only happens if people like us who have a voice in Methodism say, actually, please, let's look at Ignite and let's try and embrace that within the Methodist family, and God would honor that. So please, if you have a Methodist voice, talk about Ignite, would you please? Thank you.
And there's some key people in the whole process that we're involved in. And on the Methodist side, I think probably in the first conversation, it was recognized by some of the tables that the super is quite an important key figure in a lot of these situations. So that's something that you can learn. That's not to say that the local minister or the local council or that is all important, but the local super seems to be quite a key person in each situation for what we're seeing emerging at the moment. So... But one of the things you might like to think about as we're going through these questions is, are there some requests we'd like to make or some offers that we'd like to make? Okay, a request isn't a demand, it's a request, an exploration, or are there some things that we could offer? Because there, in exploring this together, we need to be thinking, what could come out of this that actually might be different and new and help us to explore more partnership in broader areas than the ones we're mentioning. Now, just for an example, we're exploring a possible Ignite course down in Cornwall that might serve a bit of Devon as well as Cornwall, that we're hoping that will spawn some church planting out of that. So we're exploring that at the minute. It's been a request has been made, and we're now thinking, how can we respond to that? So when you're thinking we'd like to make a request, that's the sort of thing that in that case has been asked, and we're trying to work out how to do that. But you might like to make an offer as well, like, we've got a great facility where you could come and help us to re-evangelize the nation from, or whatever it may be. Okay, so the next thing I want to do is introduce some individuals here in this room around the regionalization of what Pioneer is. What we're trying to do, Pioneer Connection, what we're trying to do is recognize that no one individual can have an input into the whole nation as far as this Pioneer Connection thing is. And so we've got a number of different locations or regions that we're beginning to recognize. And they're all in a different phase of development. And so I'm going to invite different ones to come up and tell us where they're at, starting with Phil, and Terry, you can tell us about Southampton. Yeah, and Mark and Dana, you can tell us about what's going up in the whatever that region is up there, and then down the southwest. So it's a growing thing, and we want to just empower. It's not about trying to control something; it's about releasing something. And so we want to release what is possible rather than try and control it. But at the same time, we recognize there are things that we're learning across the whole that we can help one another with. So sharing of buildings, there is some wisdom we can give on that. Having experienced it in different places, we can say, actually, if you do this, it might work better than if you do that, that kind of thing. Or if you're going to try and do that, have you thought that it might be better to do that? We can help you from the experience that we share nationally. We want to empower that as much as possible, as local as possible. Now, one of the things that we want to do in gathering regions is, if possible, get it linked in with a pioneer hub. That's not always possible. There isn't one down in the southwest, so it's happening in the southwest. But we try to link them with a pioneer hub around the country. And the purpose of gathering is it's about mission. It's about partnership towards mission. So the heart of it is, how can we bring the gospel to this nation? How can we bring the good news? But we're gathering around what I call presence. Now, presence for me is a place where we worship, where we hear God, and where we pray. So those three things can be expressed in different ways. Worship can be expressed in all kinds of different ways. It's not just about singing songs. Hearing God can be from someone speaking about something, but actually, more importantly, we want to make sure that we hear God, as in there may be prophetic words, the words that God's speaking into each other's lives, so we would want to facilitate that. And also we want to be praying for one another, so there's a sense of support. So that's really where the regional thing is going. I'd like to start off with, well, perhaps I start off with Phil, because Phil is new to this, and explain where you're coming from, and then Terry, you can come and make your way up.
Okay, hi everyone. So I'm a complete rookie at this, really. I'm in the process of handing over churches I lead to a younger man, and I've kind of stumbled across certain strange people and Billy, and feeling called by the Lord to help. So I'm going to be helping Pioneer Connection on a voluntary basis. I'm doing it now, really. The church has released me a little to do it, but from September. So it's the Potter's House Stoke on Trent is the church that I've been leading. Across the valley, I just have to say this, across the valley from Potter's House is Mow Cop, which of course is the fourth most important place in Methodism. You didn't know that. You did. I knew you did. For those of you that don't know, Mow Cop was the scene of the primitive Methodist revival. So I'm kind of a new kid on the block, really. And at the moment, I've been asked to kind of look at the Midlands region, which is impossibly vast. And it goes from North Hants, from the M25 right through Chester and Stoke to Chester. It's kind of all stations in between. So there isn't a vast amount going on at the moment. What I'm just beginning to do is to talk to one or two of the chairs of district and kind of just sow the seed, really. I've started with my very good friend Pete Hancock, who's in the chair of the North Ants district, because I was in youth group with him about 100 years ago. So hopefully Peter's going to be linking in with some of the pioneer churches, which are kind of down that, you know, just kind of north of the M25, the Thames Valley area, and up to Loughborough. I think there are about five or six different churches around that area. So we're going to start, I hope, one or two projects. So he's kind of thinking about what possibilities there are. So that's kind of where we are, really. Somehow I've got roped into Sheffield, which is not really the Midlands. But we're just actually beginning to develop a project with Sheffield Central Hall, which has a failing congregation. And the minister there has approached us, kind of saying, can you help us? And we've been up, haven't we, Nigel, and chatted to them. And, I mean, it's kind of pregnant with opportunity as a Central Hall in Sheffield. It's opposite the Crucible Theatre. And there's a kind of a university few hundred yards that way, and the university a few hundred yards that way. It is a place of refuge. So when we were there, the place was full of asylum seekers and people having advice. And I kind of thought, wow, this is what an opportunity, really. So we're going to see if we can help them. They're going to come to the Potter's House a week on Monday to see how we do things, and because they're wanting to create a kind of a project that's similar to what we've done up in Stoke. So we're going to try and see if we can advise them and help them, perhaps do a vision day with them. So that's kind of where I am. So if any of you are in the Midlands and you want to help, because it's huge.
Is anyone from the Midlands here? Put your hand up. Just what? Yeah, you're from Loughborough, aren't you? Yeah, okay. Okay, that's fine. But if you know anyone in the Midlands that might be interested in talking to Phil, then Phil's your man. Southampton, come and talk to us, Terry.
Thank you. It was about 6 years ago I came to Southampton Circuit as superintendent. It came to a circuit which was a classic Methodist circuit. It was retreating, having a closing down sale, you know, and you've seen all that if you've been anywhere in Methodism. We seem to be almost giving up the ghost. And I met Billy Kennedy, had a cup of coffee. Coffee's always a useful thing, Yanni, isn't it? And I found in the pioneer folk that I met, I mean, basically, in my experience in church, that there are two kinds of people. There are yes butters, and there are why notters. And I found Methodism is full of yes butters. You know, if you're a Methodist, you'll understand what I mean. You know, yeah, great idea, but when I get to Pioneer, I find Pioneer are definitely why notters. You know, why not do that? And so when I met with Billy and we had these churches which were either dead or dying or getting to the end of their life, and we said, Billy, is there something we can do to just honour the work that God has done over those years? And we now have three very interesting, developing Pioneer Connection churches here in Southampton, which would have all closed. We'd have sold them off. We'd have been cash rich in the circuit had we sold them, but we decided we wasn't for mission. So it has been a joy. I mean, looking at my colleagues over here working with people in Pioneer, I want to say to the Methodists who are here, sometimes we're a little bit afraid of these newer churches. You know, where are they coming from? What are their credentials? What do they believe? I want to tell you that as I get to know the folk from Pioneer, the more I love them. Honestly, they're more Methodist than we are. I say that, if you know what I mean by that. Honestly, their hearts are exactly as I would expect them to be. I've often referred to Pioneer people and the Pioneer movement as the conscience of Methodism. They've reminded us of what we used to be, what we are in danger of losing, and what we are actually, praise God, rediscovering. So I just want to just affirm working with Pioneer. It doesn't work in every place, every person, but where it does work, God honors it, and you can't tell the joy, you can't tell the difference, because God honors unity. We're not all the same, but God honors the unity, and when that happens, then amazing things can happen. I'm looking at Yanni there, and the miracle in Wimbledon, which, you know, we just want to say thank you, God, for opening our eyes, and to my fellow superintendents who are here, be a permission giver. Be a door opener. As Martin Atkin said a few weeks ago, within every Methodist situation, there's always one reason why we can do something and seven why we can't. Ignore the seven and just don't be a yes butter, be a why notter. And God has got, this is just the beginning of what I think is going to be an incredible journey. And it's just a joy to be a small part of that story. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Yeah, I reckon there's usually 15 reasons why you shouldn't do it, but just find one reason you can do it. Okay, that's what you need to do. In Southampton, there's a meeting every other month, a gathering of regional leaders, both Pioneer and Methodist church leaders, about 50, 60 people there, of whom 30 are Methodists, is that right? That includes not just Southampton, but beyond into Eastleigh, Meon Valley, and around. So it's a group, a gathering. Yeah, Tom Stuckey comes. Do you have a gathering yet? Not yet, but there's one in the sort of London, southwest London area that's emerging that Yanni's responsible for. Mark and Dana, you're responsible for the north something or other, east, I guess. Now, these guys have just sort of taken over a church that's been renamed. Do you want to test a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll share a little bit then. So mine and Dina's background is we're actually AOG Pentecostal ministers, and then we sort of came, God led us on a long journey, leaving the church that we were leading, so then became part of Pioneer, and then through that we came, because we were taking on this role within the Pioneer Methodist Connection, so we became Pioneer, the first Pioneer ministers up in Hull. So that's kind of our journey. So we sort of went in knowing very little about Pioneer, very little about Methodism, which was kind of a good place to be in. But because we were ordained, as it were, AOG ministers, it meant that we were able to be authorised to serve within the Methodist Church. So we kind of go places now, and I get introduced as Reverend Mark Button, which is kind of cool. I know it shouldn't be about titles, but, you know, I'm insecure, I want titles. No, I'm kidding. So we went in. There's kind of two facets to it, I suppose, because there's working in the Hull West Circuit. There's about 17, 18 churches there, of which we were overseeing just the one, Endike. So there's that facet to it as well. So kind of to give you an idea of what Endike's like, if you take the most forward-thinking contemporary modern church and then go to the complete polar opposite, that's Endike. So we went in there, a handful of people left, massive building, great history, and maybe people here would know about that, but back in the day, 30s and 40s, you know, it was a pioneering church. It was huge, and it's fallen on harder times. So we came in at the end of 2013, and we were told, and just to echo what you were saying about superintendent being key, so he's just like a permission giver and said, come in, be who you are, do what you do. I don't think either of us were ready for that kind of that journey. But anyway, we came in and we journeyed with the church, and really, I suppose, you know, saw that reaction as we tried to bring something of the power of God and power of the Spirit into the church. It caused a reaction. But some people loved it. Some people obviously, you know, didn't like change and things like that. So we journeyed with the church, and then we really felt like, you know, we talk a lot about resurrection. We want resurrection. We want things to be reborn. But, you know, you've got to go through the death process before you get to resurrection. And so we actually closed the church at the end of last year. So October, we met with the church and said, this is what we want to do. So we closed, and a couple of weeks later, we had our last Sunday service. I had a few months, so November, December, January, we were meeting as team. We were gathering a few more people from around the circuit. And then in January, 30th of January, we relaunched as Mosaic Church, which is all about, you know, mosaic, an image made up of smaller pieces all coming together as one. People have asked me, you see, is that anything to do with Moses? No, it's to do with the image. So I thought I'd just clarify that. And I say all the guys can breathe a sigh of relief. We're not going back to kind of Mosaic law or anything like that. So that's kind of what we've. That's kind of been our journey. So it actually coincided as well with, we had the president and vice president of conference. They were up on the weekend that we launched. So they were there. And our chair of district was there, and I was sort of bracing myself thinking, what are they going to make of this? So we've relaunched, and we're not meeting on Sundays anymore. We meet on a Friday evening, 6:30 till 7:30, just trying to do something really fresh and different, and also to serve the circuit, because we want to, you know, as we've been around all these different churches, you know, people say, we really want this, and, you know, but they're local preachers, worship leaders, things like that, so they're stretched, you know, they're being used on a Sunday. We're saying, by doing it on a Friday, we do something different for our community, but it means that people can come and connect in, plug in to what we're doing, and they're loving it. So they came, and they were blown away. They thought it was brilliant. So that we got a good response from them, which I'm pleased about. So we've been going a few weeks now. We've seen up to like 40 or so coming on a Friday. People from the community coming in. We had like last week, we had a few new people in. We've got some younger ones. So kind of 4, 5, 6, 7 upwards. There's a few teenagers coming in. So that's kind of been our journey. So we're learning lots really about kind of partnering, working together, sort of handling all of the how Methodism works and then what we bring, and just walking that journey of replanting something. So I think our remit is like the north or something. Again, big area, but if we can serve in any way to kind of share our story and things we've learned, then we'd be more than happy to do so.
Okay, so anyone here from the north wants to own that they come from there? Okay, so again, that's your contact, Wimbledon or London, that's your contact here. I guess what I'd like you to do now is just to look at, we were going to get you into your areas, but I think what would be useful is just to sort of, again, get back into your groups as you are and just begin to say, well, okay, we've heard different ideas, different thoughts, what might be possible? Or what is that raise? What kind of things does that raise for me? So just begin to explore those two questions again in your group and just sort of pose some questions in your mind about are there offers and requests that you could make? Maybe even to one another. It doesn't have to be beyond your group. But just discuss it a little bit more. I'll give you about 5-10 minutes maximum, and then we'll draw things to a close. Okay? Okay, I'd like to wrap up things with a few things. Are there any questions from any of the groups before I hand over to Nigel? Any questions? Okay, could I? We haven't asked for feedback from the groups. I'm now going to ask Mark and or Dana to let us know of any feedback that you think might be relevant. Deborah, if you could do it for this group. Rob, if you could do it from your group, if there's anything you think might be relevant for us. Christina, could you do it for yours? Thank you. Or Clive, either. One of you four? Yeah. And Yanni? Or Phil? Phil. Phil's been delegated. I'll hand over to Nigel, but do take the opportunity to connect. That one of the most important things you can do is connect with people like-hearted and be encourage one another to take hold of what God is taking hold of you for. Okay. Some of the stuff that's happening has just come out of that. It's not out of any organization of things. It comes out of just someone talking to someone. Coffee. I don't drink coffee, so. But coffee seems to be important for some. So it's the relationship side. So it's not about what we organize. It's actually more about what can actually take place in these conversations. And we might be surprised next year what emerges from it. So.
Thank you, Alan. So a few closing thoughts and remarks, really. I don't fall over. I am gradually putting some resources together for people. And, you know, I haven't got a big budget. I haven't got any budget, actually. We'll come on to that later. Don't even know if I've got a salary in November, but there you go. So, so a little bit about resources. So I can't put a hard copy of this together yet, but I have put a PDF copy together of a booklet that explains a bit about what Pioneer Connection is. And I'm hoping to shortly be able to make this available online, but if any of you want it as an electronic copy, then I'll be sending it around to all of my growing list of contacts by email shortly. So it kind of just explains a bit about who the Methodist Church is, in case that's still a mystery to any of you, who Pioneer are, what is Pioneer Connection, how does it work, which is, well, basically we don't really know yet. There's some case studies, and there's a picture of somewhere in Italy that's not supposed to be there. Did anyone recognize that place? Okay. Could have been worse, couldn't it? Sorry, right. Okay. Mosaic Church. And or what was Endike, just, you know, a few case studies with a bit more detail, something to hopefully give a little bit of inspiration, and some frequently asked questions like, why on earth are you doing this, Nigel? So a couple of pages of those. Then I've also put together, for the practically minded and the detail minded amongst you who most people actually come to me and say, Nigel, can you sort this out for us? But actually, if you could do a little bit of the research yourself as well, that would help me enormously. Pioneer Connection Partnership Guidance on Property Sharing and the Disposal and Use of Premises. So there's about 30 pages of pure joy in there on Methodist constitutional practice and disciplines and model trusts and that kind of thing. That's Billy. So there's a number of videos now on our website. We do have a website. I mentioned it to someone the other day, and they said, oh, you've got a website, have you? So I need to make the point. We do. We have the Pioneer Connection website, which is pioneerconnection.org.uk. So we have a number of video resources. It has things like the video that was showing at the beginning. So a lot of you won't have been able to hear that or might want to see the whole of that. There's 5 minutes of this, what is a beautiful, heartwarming discussion between Thelma and Barbara from Flavel Church in Dartmouth. That just really does, seriously, it just warms my heart. It made my whole last year worthwhile, hearing the difference that the partnership work had made and the work of this wonderful couple, Carl and Deborah, here had made in the spiritual life of this couple and the life of their church community together. It's a wonderful testimony. So this is, that's one of the pages on the Pioneer Connection website. We have a Facebook page. There are a number of people who've been set up as able to contribute to that, but you can keep track of some of the things that we're doing on there. And, of course, you've got to have a Twitter feed these days as well. So we've got one of those too. So we've got the Twitter feed. What's coming up next? I'm looking to put together a kind of mission pack for helping people to plan and think through the process of what taking on a missioner like Carl or Deb might mean in their location. How do we go about doing that? How do we make it happen? How do you put together, you know, a job advert, a person spec, a job description? You know, we'll put an application process in place together, and I'm going to try to get some pre-approval for what things like the job description and person spec look like at a connectional level. That'll be an interesting exercise, won't it? So anyway, one can but try, and I'm sure it's going to be good. Also, probably because we need some funding, I'd really like some funding, that would be excellent, and I'm sure that people like Carl and Deb would as well, that we're going to be exploring a number of ideas for that. I'd quite like to think about something along the lines that MET do, for example. So that's Methodist Evangelicals Together, for those of you who don't know. They produce a newsletter and they've got a membership program and that kind of thing, so it would be good to explore some way that you could practically, financially support the work that we are doing. So a membership program would be great. Developing a newsletter, a blog, which will be very interesting because you can hear me droning on for even longer if you wish to, or turn me off at your leisure. It's probably more to the point, isn't it, really? We're also going to be growing closer with together with Venture FX, and which is the Methodist expression of, or sort of outworking of, the Fresh Expressions Initiative from Churches Together in England. And Ian Bell is here. Ian Bell heads up the Venture FX Pioneer Ministry movement within the Methodist Church, and in a sense has already been going ahead of a lot of what we have been doing. And we've met recently, Ian, myself, Billy, and Stephen Lindridge, who works as part of the Fresh Expressions team within the Methodist Church as well. And we've agreed we're going to work together, haven't we, Ian? Yeah, excellent. Because we have a lot in common, and we're facing a lot of the same issues. There's a lot of the same things that we need to find solutions to. So that's going to be a big thing, I think, for this year. Particularly also as part of that, thinking about how we engineer a pathway to ministry for people, what ministry might actually look like, and how we gain some form of recognition within the Methodist Church of enabling that to happen and being a way of giving permission to explore ministry. So that's it. That's what the next year is going to look like. I'm not going to have much to do, am I, really? So, it's going to be a busy year. And back over to you, Alan.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for staying the course with us. It's just gone 4. The next session is 7 o'clock in the main hall. For pioneer leaders and trustees, there is a meeting at 5 o'clock, and I'm not sure where I know where that is yet, but Orchard Lane, is it? Thank you. Great. Thank you. Okay, so you're dismissed.
Thank you all. Just to finalise this, so I mean, I know that the work that Nigel and Alan are doing kind of represents a lot of what's going on, but in terms of what they're doing to support us and leading us nationally, can we just show our appreciation to these guys?